From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast on this Wednesday afternoon. 45 is where I'm hitting the button here today. Been not overly eventful on what we've provided to you till the last hour or so. There is a thread, however, on rebelgrove.com. Probably should check that out as a as an intro to today's podcast. So stop right now, go do that, then come back if you have if you're in our stream or if you're listening wherever you are when you're listening to the podcast, and then we'll talk about it. Obviously some baseball talk today. I'm tired, Neil's tired. I don't know how long we'll do this, but we are with you at the moment here on the podcast. It's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Download the SpeedPass Plus app, earn some points, save some money there with the Oxford Exxon and all Blue Sky locations for that. Also here locally at the Oxford Exxon, the lunch special is $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink.
Storyteller, teacher, grilled cheese master. Your dad does it all. Give him a timepiece that says he's everything you.
Highway 25 South there in Amory. Let Corey be your truck guy. Let him be your car guy. He'll take care of you no matter where you are in the car buying process. Corey is your man for that. And when you're purchasing your vehicle, mention the podcast, maybe get a little hit, a little discount on top of that as well there at Clark Ford. And I guess technically I'm on the Raptors Music and Food Hotline.
You are, by the way. Congratulations to our pal Corey. And it's kind of out there everywhere. You put it on Facebook, so I think we can say it safely here, right?
Yeah, I think whatever's on Facebook is fair game at this point.
Yeah, Corey got engaged last night. Congratulations to him.
I did not even know that.
Did you not know that?
I've been a little busy. I haven't been on Facebook a lot in the last 24 hours.
What have you been doing?
That potentially. We are how far into it with my phone rings for the first time?
Yeah, you heard an ad because I had to go get the link because I'm going to tweet the link out. And to do that, I had to pop it live for just a split second.
Sure.
It just... We got a lot of stuff going on. I saw we're like Bull Durham.
Yeah, I am at home in my office because, frankly, I was too tired to drive to the studio. We've been doing things. I didn't know if my phone was going to ring. This just seemed like the easier situation at the moment. I kind of would like to probably exercise or something when we're off here just to kind of decompress a little bit. But
yeah, I got up this. So I got up this morning. I'll tell you about Raptors in a minute. I got up this morning. I worked on my mailbag. The plan was get the mailbag done by 8:30, get Carson to soccer, go work out. That was the plan. The plan did not work out that well.
Am I echoing again? Really?
Are you?
I don't know. They say I am.
Yeah, I don't hear an echo.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I got him to soccer. And then by then I'm on the phone with people and you know about those conversations and we kind of got frustrated and I've been on the phone with you and other people pretty much all day. And so I still haven't exercised. And so now I won't have time to go to the gym and instead I'll get out in the neighborhood and run in the stupid heat and I'll be miserable.
Here, let me take my headset off and see if it's better if I'm just using the computer. I'm like a week away from getting everything set up correctly in my office. So it just kind of is what it is. A lot of electronics are backordered. It took me a long time to find the soundboard that I need. Multiple places, like it's like August and September delivery because of pandemic backorders.
Yeah, all the chips. It's one of the reasons that you can't get a vehicle right now. All the chips are backordered.
So I'm turning this off. Is that any better at all? I'm just using the straight microphone from the computer now.
The stream will tell us in a minute. It's fine with me. So we're at Rafters Music and Food. Rafters on the Water is going to have a big July the 4th celebration, big fireworks extravaganza. The biggest show in North Mississippi. Rafters on the Water open today at 5, tomorrow at 5. What's tomorrow? Friday. No, Friday at 5, and then Saturday and Sunday opens at 11. Frozen daiquiris, frozen margaritas, waterfront views, also Rafters on the Square and Rafters in New Albany open as well. So guests join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, and we certainly appreciate Rafters.
Now they're saying I'm a little worse.
So. Really?
Yeah.
See, on my end, it sounds fine, so it's impossible for me to.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. I don't hear an echo.
Just how it's getting spit out. That's a little strange. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I'm losing sense of time. I mean, it's not like, and the weird thing about it is, it's not even a coaching search yet, technically. There's like there has been no employment change at this point. And this is already like this. Although I think an actual search would be fairly swift. I don't think this would take weeks and weeks and weeks.
No, I mean, I think we can say this out loud. The search is two people. I mean, it is. It's two people. If it gets to a third person, it would mean something went terribly wrong. I don't think it would, based on everything I've heard. I don't think it would get to a third person. So the question now is, do we get a search? And how long is it until there is a search? And if there's a search, how do we get there?
So we obviously have stuff on robogrove.com here with, well, I need a sound system, Alan, is the problem. And we'll get that. We're getting there. I did finally find it. It's in the delivery phase right now. So, I guess kind of like yesterday, you want to take through it a little bit? Are we leaving some of that on the board? What do you kind of want to do here to get through this? We did literally zero show prep, so it shows you where we're at the moment.
Yeah, and I can't even say what I wanted. I can't even say what I spent the last 30 minutes doing.
You can't?
No. If I told you, you'd laugh, but people would get their feelings hurt. But it's fine. Okay. It pertains to something that we were talking about just a few minutes ago.
How much have you been on the phone today? Has it been coaching search level?
Yeah, coaching search stuff all day. Oh. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
but not like football search worst day.
No, not like that. But just kind of one call after the other because there's a kind of a vacuum of information up here, and then in Baton Rouge there's almost the vacuum's getting filled with information because I think there are some leaks down there, and that's led to people having some information that is essentially accurate. Some details are off a little bit. And sometimes I don't know whether that's because it got intentionally off a little bit, which is kind of a suspicion that I have. But yeah, there's information down there. And then I think we have a tendency, we talked about this earlier in the week, we have a tendency because of the news cycle that we've gotten used to. We've gotten used to things happening quickly, or there's an expectation for things happening quickly, and I have to remind myself throughout the day, it's just Wednesday. I mean, Ole Miss just flew back on Monday. As you've mentioned, Mike Bianco got back. They landed. They did end-of-season stuff that was standard end-of-season stuff that you do at the end of every season, no matter how the season ends. You do player exit interviews. You meet with assistant coaches. You meet with your athletics director. You kind of handle all of that stuff. And that's what they've done. And I think kind of finished that today, noonish. I don't think it really matters what exactly time it was. But it was around noon that they got that done. And so really, it shouldn't be surprising that as we sit here and tape this at 3:51 Central Daylight Time on Wednesday, some 51 hours after Ole Miss landed after the Super Regional in Tucson, that we're just now getting to a place where, okay, well, if something were to happen, now would be the start of the window when something could happen, and it wouldn't be a distraction, if you will. If you told me that both sides intentionally waited for now moving forward to move on this, I'd buy it. What I was told was that LSU really wants to get something done by the end of the week. Now, does that mean Friday? Does that mean Saturday? Does that mean Sunday? I don't know. I don't know what that means. But they'd like to get something done by the end of the week. There's a pretty consistent theme that there are only a couple of candidates in this. And there is a very consistent theme about who the leading candidate is in this. Glenn Gilbo, who's been covering LSU for a very long time, insists that it's Mike Bianco's job to lose, or to turn down, I should say. Ron Higgins, who's been covering the league for a long time. You guys are familiar with Ron, sometimes from used to being on the podcast. Ron's covered LSU a bunch. He's covered – he worked in Memphis forever. He worked in Mobile for a time. He covered Ole Miss for a bit. Ron reportedly – I've not heard the interview, but I've seen people reference it, that Ron was on the radio and said it's absolute Mike Bianco is going to be the guy. I know that Matt Moscona in Baton Rouge believes that Mike Bianco is going to be the guy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's essentially what he told you. And while there's all this talk about LSU wanting to make a splash, I'll give you an analogy that Chase and I gave to Chase a little while ago. Someone said, you know, Scott Woodward, the LSU AD, he really wants a slam dunk. Okay, I get that. But sometimes a slam dunk can't happen for a number of reasons. Maybe you don't have time to get to the rim. Maybe a Rudy Gobert is protecting the rim. Maybe you can't dunk. Maybe you just can't get momentum to get to a dunk. And so at some point, the shot clock starts to tick on you. And there is a shot clock here. LSU needs to hire a coach. They don't want to wait 3-4 weeks and then not get a dunk, right? And so at some point, the 8-foot jumper in the paint that's wide open, uncontested, is the best shot. And I kind of think that's where LSU ultimately is. I think they know it. I've got a little theory here and there about what might be happening. I don't know that it's responsible for me to float that here, but I've got some thoughts. But I think LSU, Woodward wants a dunk, but I think in this, we're approaching the point where it's safe to say Woodward may not have a dunk in his arsenal right now. He might not be able to get to the rim, but he can get to within 6-7 feet and put up a bucket that's going to count the same as a dunk. And it's not going to be a splashy, and it's not going to be a Sports Center headline. But, you know, Chase, in all seriousness, it's the part about the whole Woodward wants a splash thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. What precisely, and this is not knocking college baseball because I've actually come to enjoy it this year, and the drama associated with this has made me like it even more. But what constitutes a splash in college baseball? I mean, yeah, if he could go get Tim Corbin, that's a big splash. That's a slam dunk. Woo!
You make a good point. It's within the college baseball world. Well, that's a very niche thing still today. I mean, probably even college basketball is a niche thing to a certain extent. So college baseball definitely is. And when you talk about true splashes, there are only a couple. I mean, I'm trying to think through my head a little bit. I'm sure I'm missing one or two. But in theory, you could make the argument the only real splashes in college baseball are Tim Corbin and Dan McDonald. And that's it.
Yeah.
There's at least the argument those are the only two. That everybody else is, oh, yeah, good coach, good job, all right.
Yeah, cool. I mean, you know, even Tony Vitello.
Kevin O'Sullivan, had you gotten him. Yeah. Good, great coach, but is that moving headlines outside the baseball world? No.
Kornheiser and Wilbon aren't putting that on their rundown.
No, it's not
going to take away from, hey, Chris Paul's out in COVID protocol, and hey, Kawhi Leonard tore his ACL, they think, and he's out indefinitely, and the NBA is wild, and Kevin Durant, damn it, had this great big game, and Major League Baseball came out with the pitching substance thing, and Trevor Bauer ripped them apart for 8 minutes on the Dodgers postgame yesterday. Them hiring Tony Vitello is not knocking any of those things out of the front page of the sports, if you will, nationally. No. So I don't – when people do that about Woodward really wants a splash and he really wants a slam dunk, and yeah, okay, but I don't know that you can do that in that sport. This isn't football where – hey, you could go make some hire that SportsCenter leads for 15 minutes, or college basketball where you could, you know, bring Billy Donovan back or something. I don't know. What would be a big splashy hire in that world? So a part of me wonders if maybe that's not really it. A part of me wonders if maybe this is Woodward just kind of wanting to make sure that he lets people know down there that, hey, I'm the boss still. You might ultimately get your way, and you might get your guy, and I might hire your guy, and I might really like your guy, but I'm the boss. Don't lose sight of that. I'm the boss.
It's also worth saying that splash also means impeccable record and again, like, I think that he would eventually win them over, but from a straight hiring press conference day standpoint, Mike has that really big flaw with the College World Series situation. I was on Matt's show yesterday. Matt's show is like ours. It has the YouTube live stream while you're on, and I just kind of had it up for reference while we were talking, and you're talking about a really sizable contingent of LSU fans that, hey, with all due respect, we've been making fun of this Ole Miss team for their inability to get to Omaha for 2 decades, and now you're going to hire the guy who gets tight or does whatever the reasons are or not, hasn't gotten to the College World Series. Well, I mean, there's a large contingent that would be very unhappy with that, and I think that plays into splash, too, because you want your fan base to be excited. You want your constituents to be patting you on the back and telling you how great you are and all those different things, and Woodward would definitely get a very mixed reaction to Mike Bianco.
Then the other story that was the other part of Glenn Gilboa's story today, and look, Glenn's really good. I posted about this. Glenn's been covering LSU for 22 years-ish, long time. Knows a lot of people, really good. And he said that, according to his sources, and I think I have a decent idea as to the general realm of his sourcing, that Scott Woodward wanted to interview two candidates in person. And he mentioned specifically Mike Bianco and Cliff Godwin, the East Carolina coach, former Ole Miss assistant, former LSU assistant, that he wanted to meet them in person in the Baton Rouge area. And I made a post that I believe 100% to be completely accurate. And some people have pushed back. Most people have agreed. Mike Bianco cannot physically, like, take his body and go to Louisiana and interview for the LSU job, not get the job or decide not to take the job, and then return to Ole Miss as the Ole Miss baseball coach and expect to do so effectively. That is not a possibility. That is not something that you can do. That is not on the menu. That is not available. I have to believe he knows that. I have to believe he knows that. I have to believe Keith Carter knows that. I have to believe everybody over there knows you can't do that. Now, can Cliff Godwin, the East Carolina coach, take his body to Louisiana and interview for the LSU job? Sure. And in many ways, East Carolina can go, hey, look at us. Look at us. The LSU wants our coach. And then if Cliff doesn't get it, yeah, you still take him back and you can spin it and go, you know, Cliff loves us so much that he wouldn't even take the LSU job. And if he does get the job, you can tell future coaches, hey, the last guy's the coach at LSU. Yeah. You can come here. I mean, for East Carolina, that's very palatable. For Ole Miss, that is not touchable. You can't say, you can't talk the words, hey, we're a big boy in the SEC. We are a big boy in the SEC. Like Lane Kiffin, remember that? Lane Kiffin, and was it September, October, whenever it was they played Alabama, and it was 49-42 or whatever the hell it was, 56-49 or whatever. Gilboa has something recent.
Yeah, I'll pull it up while you're talking. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and he's texting me now.
Glenn is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, jeez. You can't say, hey, we're the big boys. And Lane Kiffin, remember that after the game, they played Alabama so close, and the fans were so excited because Ole Miss has sucked for the last several years, and then boom, boy, you are toe-to-toe with Alabama. I mean, you're punching them until the bitter end. They won on decision, but you had your moment in the ring where you were the story. Frankly, the story of that game was Ole Miss. Remember that? And they leave the field and standing ovation, and he gets in the locker room and he goes, hey, we didn't come here to be competitive. We didn't come here for moral victories. We came here to win. And Ole Miss, as they should have, as the marketing team over there should have, they turned that into a big marketing tool. Showed it all the time. It was a part of the storyline, et cetera, et cetera. And it should have been. Absolutely. That was genius on their part. But you can't say that stuff, Chase, and then not back it up. You can't say, hey, we're big boys, but we'll let our coach go interview with LSU. And if he doesn't get it, he can come back. Because what's implied in that is LSU's a better job than we are. And we know it. No, no, you can't do that. So I think today is, and I still think this, you and I have talked a lot today. I still think today, this moment, from this point forward, Mike's on the clock. Like, I think damage has been done, fairly or not. And so if you're going to be the coach at Ole Miss and somehow fix this, and by the way, I still maintain I think Mike's going to LSU and I think he knows it.
Sure.
But in the event that you're going to come back, damage has been done now. Because they've had a two-week opportunity to put this to bed, and they haven't. And for the people who say, well, no one asked Mike about it. No one – let me tell you how this works. If Mike wanted to be asked about it, that could have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
That story that Gilbo is from last night.
Okay, so it's the same story?
Yeah. But it had a line in it that said as posted there, it said that he spoke to Woodward about the job on Monday and expected to be in Baton Rouge soon for an in-person interview.
Okay.
Yeah, just.
And our sourcing doesn't match up with that, but I'm not, and that's not saying he's wrong. And Cole Woods asked in the thread, just to wrap up the Kiffin portion of this, he says, I mostly agree with you, Neil, about Bianco, but would you say the same thing if Kiffin interviewed for other jobs next offseason? Absolutely. And it's another reason why you can't let this happen if you're Ole Miss. You can't let him. Now, look, he can hop on a Zoom call or take a phone call. You can't control that stuff. But he can't go to Baton Rouge or Louisiana or whatever and, quote, interview for the job. The only way you can go to Louisiana as the Ole Miss coach to, quote, interview for the job is if you've already taken the job. Interview is just a formality, if it's a, hey, part of the deal here is you got to meet with the chancellor or the president or the king of the children's hospital or whatever it is and shake hands and have a gumbo and say, hey, we're all going to get along. Formality. You got to meet with the people at Our Lady of the Lake, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody in athletic administration earlier today, not Keith, and they were kind of laughing and going, yeah, I mean, like, it's the, kind of the point where you need the clandestine air hanger. Like, that's got to stay complete. Like basically, if it gets out, you're all screwed, and, like, you might as well move on because, yeah, there's it's a point of no return at that point that you just – in today's technological world, there's no way you can risk that in any way. Yeah. I mean, that was
– And so to finish the answer, Cole, absolutely. So if Lane Kiffin – pick a school, UCLA. Lane Kiffin – the UCLA job is open, and Lane Kiffin gets caught flying to California and meeting with the LSU people, with the UCLA people. No, you can't bring him back.
Yeah.
It's over, because at that point forward, he can't recruit anymore. He chopped his own head off. Now, can he have phone calls, or can he? Look, the way this is done is your agent makes phone calls to the people. You have intermediaries. The AD essentially has a person that's talking for him, and the agent talks for the coach, and they can talk and talk and talk and talk. And frankly, they can go get together at the at the Minneapolis airport, meet in Hub C or whatever, and have a powwow. And that's what they do. They'll fly to some place like Detroit and meet and iron some things out. They can do Zoom calls. They can talk. They can exchange DMs and Snapchats and the whole deal. But you can't ever get to the place where the candidate goes and talks to them in person unless it's formality. Like even at FAU, Lane Kiffin could not come to Oxford until he had the job.
Yeah. So we'll continue this in a second. First, about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Let's see. I got to catch up. I had to close a file. Join Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels in the vault this season. Speaking of Lane Kiffin, season tickets packages begin at $199, can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. Youth soccer for the fall, the Oxford Park Commission is in the middle of registration for the 2021 fall season at M-Trade Park. Leagues are based on birth year. The cost to play is just $50. They're offering discounts for multiple players from the same family. The season begins August 16th. It runs through the month of September. The deadline to register is Sunday, June the 27th. So go to oxfordparkcommission.com for more details or to sign up. We're also brought to you by Joey Erickson, Herring Gear Chevrolet. Let him help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Give Joey a call or text on a cell, 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for. Stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson to test drive that new or used vehicle you've had your eye on. Also brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers from work to lifestyle to nightlife. There's this perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com is the website. Go to the events page. Everything going on locally this week and every week, including the Summer Sunset Series, Sunday Nights, Music in the Grove. Take your blankets, your picnics, and more. Listen to live music there. That returning this year after still having music last year during the pandemic, but not in the Grove. So back in the Grove every Sunday during June there on Sunday night. So that and more. Again, visit OxfordMS.com/events. Kind of what we were talking about yesterday. I see it in the thread too. Somebody asked about Dan McDonald. Ben McDonald says another person that says Dan McDonald would go to Ole Miss should that job open there. So just,
well,
I don't know who Ben knows to potentially ask that or get a source on that, but nonetheless, Ben McDonald.
I mean, Ben's not the first person to say it. So
yeah,
look,
you heard that once or twice.
I may have heard that a couple of times today. It's what makes this really interesting. I mean, Chase posted, and I helped him with it, but it was mostly Chase's work. It's probably 85-15 Chase to me. A pretty extensive update on the site. It does require a certain amount of reading between the lines because we'd like to protect people a little bit, and there's a couple things that aren't in that update that if you think about a normal end of year update, there would be in a normal end of year update. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what are you referring to?
Well, let's put it this way.
I mean, are we going down the road or are we just like,
I'm gonna go down the road, but I'm gonna use an analogy.
Okay. So, we like those.
So your fiance tells you, Chase, I love you, but Billy wants me to go on a date with him. Like a real
fiance.
A real date. Yeah, a real date. And
like dinner and a movie?
No, I mean a real, like a weekend, like a weekend away.
Oh, okay. That's more than a date.
Yeah, well, a date. I mean a real date.
Okay.
And I really kind of feel compelled, Chase, to go on that date. Kind of feel like I got to answer that call. Kind of feel like I got to feel that out, if you will.
Sure.
If you say to your fiance at that point, hey, honey, I get it. I just want you to be happy. What are you really kind of saying? What are you really kind of saying?
You don't care.
Or
you're fine. You'll be all right.
I encourage you to do that because maybe, and I'm just, it's just spitting thought.
Okay.
Because maybe you're thinking, you know, you know, the way this might really work for me is if she and Billy hit it off and she leaves me for Billy and I'm not the bad guy.
You get the ring back?
Oh, yeah, you get the ring back. Absolutely. Okay. Oh, you get the ring back. You get all the stuff back.
Okay.
She just leaves. You may just have your eye on someone else already. And now, she wouldn't go out with you before because of your fiancé. I mean, she wasn't getting in the middle of that. But if your fiancé leaves you for Billy, well, she just might take your call. And you know the only way for her to take your call is for your fiancé to leave with Billy. On the flip side...
And she's already turned Sam and David down. I mean, got a lot going on here. Yeah.
On the flip side, if you love her so much that you cannot imagine doing this life thing with anyone but her, when she tells you about Billy, you say, baby, I'll do anything to make this work. Tell me what I need to say. Tell me what I need to do. You want more money? You got it. You want more security? You got it. You want me to name a room in the house for you? Done. Tell me what you want me to do. Please don't go see Billy. I promise you, Billy is not all he's cracked up to be. I know you once had a thing with Billy. I get it. But that was a long time ago, and things change, and I know how to make you happy, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that.
So, again, read the update. Read what's not in the update. And tell me where you think this might be headed.
It's a question here. It's a valid one that, frankly, we haven't talked about a ton. What if Mike stays?
It's Omaha or bust. It's bad. Damage is done.
It feels like Omaha or bust.
I mean, if you told me after all of this that Mike stayed, it would tell me that...
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, we're being eight right now.
Sorry, I shouldn't have read. I don't even know what the hell we were talking about. Oh, can he come back? No, he can't come back. I mean, if he went to Omaha, that'd be the only way to make it all go away. Because now it looked like he couldn't get the job. Wanted the job, couldn't get it. And again, nobody's begging anybody to stay right now. So whatever issues led her to want to go see Billy are going to pop back up again.
Fan base damage at this point, if he stays?
Based on what I've read on our message board, and yeah, sure. Now, does that represent the whole fan base? I mean, I wish it did because we'd be rich, but no, but it's not, you can't ignore it either.
The irony of this.
Oh, come on, let me finish this. Let me, because I have a reputation of, I'm going to say what I think. So I'm going to say what I think.
Okay.
The reality now is that if Mike stays in the view of the fan base is that not only did you kind of keep a coach that maybe you think it's stale, whether that's fair or not, I don't know, but you lost an opportunity to go get the coach that you've always kind of talked about. You lost the opportunity to go get Dan McDonald.
And you run the risk of LSU hiring the other guy you'd like to hire at one point.
Yeah, because you've talked about Cliff Godwin on your very short list, and they go hire Cliff. And so now he's off the list, and you're not going to go get him. And here's the other thing about the Ole Miss LSU interview thingy. This is another reason you can't do it. You think the LSU baseball coach could come interview for the Ole Miss job, go back to Baton Rouge, and say, no, I decided to stay?
Probably wouldn't take too kindly to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, in a situation where LSU hires Godwin in a year, if that's the end for Mike and that's when it is and he stays here and whatever, maybe at that point you don't have the shot that maybe you do at Dan right now. Cliff's at LSU, he's not leaving, and suddenly your options are different than they are right now. I mean, it's a long, big pull to it. I mean, I don't think that would be Cliff's move, but I mean, it was one of the things Gilbo wrote that I did agree with, was he said that there's a potential chain reaction here. He thought of going all the way full circle where even Cliff would be a candidate at Louisville and potentially could take the Louisville job. Dan comes to Ole Miss, Mike goes to LSU, and you go around the merry-go-round. I don't think that's the job Cliff would want, but I get what he's saying. I mean, that would make a lot of sense for Louisville if they could pull that off. So, you know, there's a lot there. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. If Ginger doesn't win post of the day in the thread, I don't know who does.
No, it's done. We're already awarding it. Look, Sip, I mean, I don't know what Keith Carter's going to do. I can't jump into his brain, but if Dan McDonald is out there and wants your job, you hire Dan McDonald.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, nothing else makes more sense than Dan McDonald.
Well, it's the irony of it would be a splashy hire. I mean, that would be something that, like, the College World Series starts Saturday in Omaha, and that would be something that would get a lot of airplay. They would talk about that a lot, and they talk about Mike to LSU too. I mean, that would be something that would get talked about quite a bit.
It's gained a lot of play, so I'll mention it quickly here as we're kind of talking. No extension, no whatever came out of today's meeting between Mike and Keith. I think if Mike remains the coach at Ole Miss, that he will end up being back extended to 4 years. But that contract's not what it was 2 years ago from an incentive standpoint. It's just not a big deal. You're just not cutting his nose off. You're doing whatever. And that will have no bearing whatsoever on what you need to do or don't need to do moving forward with that position at all. It's a complete and utter non-factor.
Completely agree. In fact, not extending him for the optics of extending him in the event that he stayed looks so petty and stupid, frankly, because now you're creating a recruiting obstacle for him. Why would you do that? As long as he is your coach, you want to give him the tools to be as effective as possible. The way you want any of your coaches, right? I mean, it's what you do for any coach on campus. You don't, hey, let's see what I can do. Let's see if I can do one little thing that might hamstring him just a little bit. That's dumb. And if it doesn't affect the bottom line, if it only affects some optics and some pettiness, well, then you know the rest of that answer.
Yeah, it's not doing enough of a buyout increase to change it and go, oh, well, you can't do it now because of, it's whatever. So that's fine. You know, frankly, that's I need another phrase because I've said in the vacuum so many times over the last week that I'm kind of tired of saying it. But a super regional year, you're not celebrating it, and you're not firing. Okay, moving on. Status quo. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of
– sure.
In a vacuum, that's where it is. That's kind of what you should be doing at that point as you go. But, you know, it's where Keith's been struggling. I think struggling is probably fair is, okay, well, at what point are we not in a vacuum anymore? Because it's 20. It's 21. It's whatever it is at that point. But – no, that's a non-factor. That's not a big deal as we move forward. Timeline-wise, it feels like the next 48-72-ish, Neil. Good with that? I think any longer than that in two things. One, LSU could be changing its mind. LSU could be going in different directions. LSU could be trying to find who the next flavor of the week is as they move through this convoluted search. And then number two, there is a point where Mike would pull out and go, okay, that's enough. I've got to coach the team that I have right now. And I think that's still 7 days away, 10 days away. I don't think we're close to that because, frankly, I think it's just now really even engaging from a Mike standpoint. But nonetheless, there is that thing. So as you go into the next 2-3 days, get into the next 7 days, whatever you're getting into, I think that's a timeline to probably watch for. I think if this thing follows through a chalk script, where Mike is the next coach at LSU, I think that that we're talking the next 48, 72 hours, somewhere in there as this thing moves forward. So, I mean, he's finished everything here. He's done all the player exit interviews. He's talked to Keith. I don't know if he's, you know, evaluated or broken anything with the assistants right now. I don't know if that comes later. I have no idea where that is on the timetable. But, I mean, I think Mike's going on vacation today. Like, I think it's kind of done now for a little while before camp season starts in a normal year, and you just start doing all the kind of summer stuff that happens.
Because in a normal year right now for the teams that don't make it to Omaha, it sort of shuts down till what, July 1st?
Somewhere in there, yeah. You've got a little time to – you'll do some recruiting. I mean, Ole Miss had Jack Moss on campus yesterday. He was the first baseman for Arizona State last year as a freshman, a transfer portal kid. He was here yesterday. A lot of people in on him. Arkansas, Texas A&M, I think, were his other two trips kind of in this little swing for him. I don't know where he's from. But nonetheless, they were doing that yesterday. I think the assistants will get back out on the road. They'll do some different recruiting stuff. But, yeah, Mike would have a little bit of time here before you start doing all the camps to pay your assistants and do all that kind of stuff that fills most of July before the kids get back in August whenever they report back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What LSU guy said this morning at 7 a.m. that longer than 24, something's changed? Who said that?
I don't know.
Because I don't think that's right. That's too short of a timetable.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I never heard anything like that. The only thing I heard from anyone at LSU, anyone in Baton Rouge, I should say, was that Woodward would like to get it done by the end of the week. And look, if it's Mike, you could get this done pretty quickly. Frankly, if it's Cliff, you could get it done pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's somebody else, nobody knows who it is. And at some point, that it's kind of like the mystery recruit. The longer you hear about a mystery recruit without hearing a mystery recruit's name, there is no mystery recruit.
You're saying Mike Durante Lang at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was Durante ever really a mystery recruit, or was he just...
No, that's true. Yeah. You get the guys that signed with Ole Miss like three different times and stuff. Those are my favorite. The wide receiver Schaefer was going to bring with him that was going to be like the savior. It was like A.J. Jackson or A.J. Johnson or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So, that was before your time, though.
I was covering recruiting for the Mobile Register, though, among other things, and I can remember the whole Brent Schaefer thing.
Yeah. Reed Trimble is draft eligible because in one of the Southern Miss press conferences, somebody asked him about coming back, not coming back, going, whatever. So that dude can play for me, though. He can hit. He's a stud.
He can swing it.
They were quite offensive. Does Arizona play against Rocker, in your opinion? What happens there?
I think they have a chance to work his pitch count. And sometimes that's Rocker's downfall. When he does have a downfall, it's that his pitch count gets high and gets frustrated. And they can hit now up and down the lineup. They don't have many bad at-bats from what I saw. But now Nikhazy handled them.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocker, like Nikhazy, Rocker can be so dominant that it doesn't matter how good the offense is.
The path for Arizona would be to run the pitch count, find a way to win 4-2 after you get him out in sixth. I mean, that would be the path to winning that baseball game. Look, Arizona, there's been a lot of debate about what their offense is or isn't. They command the strike zone better than any college team I've seen in a really long time. I mean, yeah, I was talking to somebody about Jay Johnson and kind of what he does there at Arizona. They just don't swing at balls at all, ever. They literally do not swing at balls. And so I'm curious to see, because Rocker can get kind of overhyped. He can get pepped up. I'm kind of curious what happens in that regard. But nonetheless, podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC, service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Parental controls, network security, and more. So give them a call. Find out if they're near your area and get the best internet around. Again, 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. They make the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Father's Day is Sunday. So don't wait until the very last minute to get a gift for the dad in your life. A custom pair of Blue Delta jeans is a great way to show you care and give a gift that will bring a lifetime of joy. Visit BlueDeltaJeans.com. Purchase a gift card that can be redeemed in person or online. Or contact the folks at Blue Delta to schedule an in-person fitting for the dad in your life. Don't forget to use the code REBELGROVE, that's one word, all lowercase, online or in person, for 10% off any pair of blue Delta jeans. Also brought to you by our friends at Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trails, the premium brand trailer, the highest quality equipment, utility, dump, and gooseneck trailer being built today. They also have Alpha. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers, and they can work with third parties at Alpha to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you. For podcast listeners, Alpha has spare tires and wheels starting at just $100, a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. 601-932-9798, 601-932-9798, or check out alphaofms.com. I've got a mailbag up on the site today. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can get in touch with her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's services, profits, I should say, go right back into the Oxford community. If you want to learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668.
I'm always a little mixed on whether I watch a lot of College World Series or not. Like, I kind of get burnt out a little bit by that point. It's got to be something somewhat compelling. I don't know that I just sit down and watch all the games as a baseball nut. I'll kind of tune out from time to time there.
Yeah, as it gets closer to the end, I'll watch it a little bit.
It's also boring in that park. Yep. I know we talked about that today, but I get bored just because of where they play the stupid thing.
Well, it's because you get used to watching these on-campus environments like Starkville and Fayetteville and Knoxville, and where it's just like exciting and the fans are right on top of you, and then it feels more sterile out there.
No, Chris Jones was definitely on campus. We were geo-tracking. We were talking to fraternity kids. We had that one whipped.
We can prove that. That was a
He was definitely on campus.
That was a fun Sunday morning. We were laughing out loud on some of the stuff we were doing.
I mean, it was dumb.
We did prove geospatially where he was.
Yes. We knew he was in that location at that moment. How did we do that? What did we use?
I can't remember. Somebody told us what to do, and by God, it worked.
It did work. It had him, like, right in the fraternity house, whenever that was. Oh, it was the picture, right?
Yeah.
We got into, like, the data of the picture?
Yeah, there was a picture, and somehow someone told us how to get data off of it as to where they were.
And to make sure it was from that day and time.
Right.
Yeah, and it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's 100%. Yeah. Yeah, need the time stamp and the location on the photo. Yep, that's right. Ginger, you're whipping it today. Very locked in. We were doing something earlier today too, where I was like, "This job's stupid." Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm just this is dumb.
I have those moments all the time. Where, like, does it really matter? You know, does it? I mean, truly, does it completely matter? And sometimes you just, I mean, I don't know.
I did get into the thing today where, like, when the phone calls came in, I was so tired of being on the phone that I took, like, 3 seconds to analyze it and go, do I really have to answer this? Do I need to answer this, or can this one just be let go and I'll deal with it in a minute? Like, where are we at here? And I was like,
well, I felt bad a couple of times when I called, but I'm like, I probably need to tell him this.
I think I sounded like my dog had died a couple of times when I answered the phone. Like, I was kind of like, yeah, you're like, what?
You're like, what?
Yeah, sure. Well, I halfway keep expecting you to call and go, yeah, this happened. I'm like, all right, fine. Like, whatever at this point. I mean, I don't know. Like, whatever. So anyway, yeah, that's it. You know, look, we don't think Mike's doing it. I mean, do you think that it's half right? I mean, do you think Cliff is headed to Baton Rouge for any kind of in-person something or other? Or do you think that the location stuff is wrong all the way around and he's doing whatever Mike is doing?
Well, again, I think Cliff can actually benefit from interviewing.
Sure, yeah.
he probably benefits to some degree from it being known that he interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
He probably could benefit from the experience of interviewing. It's a different deal when you're the East Carolina coach. No disrespect to East Carolina. Cliff's done a phenomenal job. But it's different. I mean, it just is. You interview for a job that's a promotion, and that's cool. You interview for a job that's a parallel move.
So do you think it's over by Friday or Saturday?
Kinda. Maybe. I mean, I think Woodward's sort of dragging his feet a little here. And I don't know whether that's because Woodward just wants to make sure everybody knows that, hey, I'm the boss and we'll do this my way.
Well, because he's been pushed a little on that. I mean, you got Skip just calling folks on his own volition. I mean, you just...
Yeah.
Because that has to be a little frustrating for an AD. He's running through a process and Skip Bertman's over here just dialing up some phone numbers and seeing what's going on with some cats.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I can't help but think that maybe that's a little bit of this. And then I think also he's a little sulky, Woodward, right now. He wanted O'Sullivan, probably has to be embarrassed about the reality of that. I mean, I heard specifics today that is like, whoa, you were going to push that?
He floated this Pat Casey thing that blew up in his face.
And I think he went after Tim Corbin, which was.
Yeah. I had another source on that today that he threw stupid money at Tim Corbin. And Tim said, nah, good.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody goes, hey, take your shot.
LSU still believes it's the best baseball job in the country.
Yeah. I mean, you know, commend him, I guess, for shoot or shoot. But that doesn't make it any less humiliating when you get shot down. So this didn't go the way that his women's basketball coaching search went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I'm going to go get Kim Mulkey from Baylor. Watch this.
Right.
Kim Mulkey, who had been saying, I'll never leave Baylor, I'm here forever, and you go get her.
Paying her a lot of money.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount of money, frankly. Money that's going to be lost. Money that they cannot make up. And so you say, well, we'll do it again. I'll throw this massive amount of money at Tim Corbin. Watch this. Watch this, everyone. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after some point, you got to go make a hire. Texas says hello in baseball.
Yeah.
When they went after all the big boys, and they didn't get them. At some point, you got to hire a coach. And if you're LSU, and I know what people say that, oh, they're going to be sour about Mike. He doesn't have enough trips to Omaha and all that. I just know how fans are. They're going to sign off on that pretty quick, at least at first. He's going to get a honeymoon at first. And then at some point, I mean, fairly quickly, he's got to win because they expect to win there.
Yeah, everybody got to win.
But it's not Omaha or bust next year for Mike Bianco.
No, not
at LSU. And at Ole Miss, I think it is. I don't see how it's not.
With a really retooled team, 26 is gone. 25, maybe, possibly, probably gone, depending on how you want to read some different things. Taylor Broadway, gone. Yeah, we don't know about Kevin Graham. There's a lot there. Yeah, Vandy really stretches. It's 11.7. They stretch it to about 26.
And again, the rules let them.
The rules let them.
They're not breaking rules.
No. The more I hear about it, though, it's just everybody else. I mean, you have to almost kind of want to quit at times.
Oh, it's outrageous.
There's probably a little bit because, I mean, it's been out there enough that people know it a little bit. Woodward's probably a little annoyed that Dan McDonald told him no, but he's very connected to the Ole Miss gig. I mean, there's probably a lot of elements to a lot of things here.
Well, in fairness to Woodward, that would frustrate me too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I can't get him to listen, but they might be able to get him to take it?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really want to create the opening to let them go get him? I hadn't even thought about that until right then.
I mean, that's some chess there. Hey, I'm not going to get the guy I'm hiring because what they get if I do that. Is that a thought?
I got to work my – I'm working my brain through that. But
okay.
Look, it's a tough league. you better get a good coach. This is a tough league. I mean, we were talking this morning about all what trip Mike Bianco might or might not be making. Well, I can tell you a trip that Lamonis at Mississippi State's making.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a trip next 24 hours or so.
Talk about the friendliest the league has ever been. If Bianco goes to LSU and McDonald comes to Ole Miss, I mean, we got kumbaya everywhere. I mean, Mike and Jim Schlossnagel are best friends. Mike and Dan, kind of mentor, protege kind of situation. Lamonis and Dan, I mean, as tight as any two people there are. I mean, there's a lot going on here in this league. Everybody getting along. And then Dan Horn's over there and just doing whatever he does.
Yeah, right. He's nobody's buddy.
I mean, Butch knows the state people well. Like, everybody's kind of whatever.
I talked to somebody today in college baseball who said, you know, when Arkansas lost on Sunday, because I've never had more mixed emotions. And I said, really, what was it? And he goes, I was so happy to see Van Horn pissed off. He said, and on the flip side, I was sick for Kevin Cobbs.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, the nicest kid in the world. Just a fantastic kid, had that year, and it should not have ended that way. Yeah. But, I mean, you look around the league right now, and it's just such a good league. We talk about this all the time in other sports, but in this sport, it's never been more true. Lamonis has Mississippi State back in the College World Series. Vitello has Tennessee in the College World Series. I think we all would agree that Vanderbilt's the prohibitive favorite to win again.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Arkansas that spent the whole season at number one, was one inning away from going back to Omaha. You've got Ole Miss that won all these games. LSU was still in a super regional. I mean, it's just South Carolina made the tournament. Alabama made the tournament. Georgia's got all the tools in the world. Florida at one point early in the season looked like a national title contender. It is a brutal league. You got to get it right. And again, I go back to, if you're Scott Woodward, you can't. Here's the risk Woodward takes if he drags his feet too long, Chase. Mike pulls out. Cliff goes, mm-hmm. Cliff goes, screw it, man. I'm staying at ECU. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be your dog and pony show. And Cliff loves East Carolina. Leaving East Carolina for anywhere is going to be a difficult thing for him emotionally. Yeah. He loves the place. So he goes, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have other opportunities. And he absolutely is going to have other opportunities. And so if the worst thing you say to Cliff is, hey, guess what? You're going to have to stay at your alma mater, at this place that you love, where they worship the ground you walk on for one more year. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Be all right. Maybe it wasn't the plan, but that's not that big of a deal. You're not telling Cliff, hey, you're never going to get to be an SEC coach. You're telling Cliff, hey, you're going to have to wait one more year to be an SEC coach. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I look at it and think, if you're LSU, you better hurry. You better not drag your feet too long, because then you say, hey, okay, well, we'll just wait 2 weeks and go after Vitello. Okay, what if Vitello says no?
Now you're really spinning.
And then now what do you do? Now you're into late June, into July. You're into the evaluation period, and you don't have a staff. You can't get – who do you go get? Someone mentioned the coach at Michigan. No, that would be a terrible cultural fit. So maybe you go get the coach at Notre Dame, but what if he says, you know what, I'm really happy at Notre Dame and I don't want to leave. Got a good gig at Notre Dame. They like me. I got a good job. I got a good team coming back. We got really close this time, and they did. They were really close to making the College World Series. What if you can't get those people? You got to be careful.
It's also his first year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's not a lot of – I mean, the sample size is pretty small. I mean, they're good, but
– they were good, but you'd like to see them sustain it a little bit before you just completely go, okay, well, yeah, Link Jarrett stud.
Yeah. Question the thread. Now, I don't – and somebody's asking Georgia Rebel, if Mike stays at Ole Miss and Cliff gets LSU, what would Laff do? I don't think he would leave Mike for Cliff in that instance. The bigger question would be, if Mike leaves and Cliff got the Ole Miss job, would the hire be fast enough at Ole Miss to make Laff an option for Cliff, or would he have to tell Mike something quicker than that would happen to go to LSU with him for security purposes? That's more the intriguing question. I don't think the other would be a thing. So anyway, we're cart before the horse a little, but
Killer Cam has a football question. It's actually kind of interesting. He says, with the new CFB playoff format, how good can Gus Malzahn make UCF with that influx of money with the new format? Pretty good, because if you can be the best group of five program, you'll make the playoffs every year. And UCF has all the tools to be the best group of five program.
Ginger asking, why is Eric Backett not a cultural fit at LSU, given his career at Vanderbilt? Yeah, he was at Vanderbilt 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. But he has been fairly critical of SEC schools. He's kind of established himself more in that area of the country from a fit standpoint at this point. Kind of how they recruit, some different things. He's done a version of the "we recruit differently, we recruit the right way" baseball Hugh Freeze version at this point with Backett.
It wouldn't go over well in Baton Rouge out loud.
He actually knows Clipperly really well. He played at East Carolina, I'm pretty sure.
Backett did?
I think so. Yeah, I think I'm right on that. Yeah, he played at East Carolina. That's correct. So he and Clip would have been teammates on those teams.
Forward Action says, was Lemonis a good hire at the time for MSU? I couldn't really remember the thoughts at the time. But Chase said Chris Lemonis was the guy he would have hired at Ole Miss years ago if it were open.
Mm-hmm.
Proven to be pretty good.
Yeah, that one's correct. And when he was like their sixth choice, sometimes it just works out.
They play with a confidence that is kind of unwavering.
Because they went way down the road with Schlossnagel.
Yeah.
And then both sides kind of got arrogant. And
was that when they kidded themselves about Corbin for a while?
Yeah, they did the Corbin thing and argued about that. I understand. Why would Corbin not come? Look at our stadium. Okay, great. Awesome. They did the Corbin thing, and then Schlossnagel and Cohen battled egos after a little bit. Apparently both have one at some point. And Cliff turned it down, and then they hired Lemonis was the way that – because I guess he was fourth. But, I mean – he's a hell of a baseball coach. He really is. He is one hell of a baseball coach.
They lucked into that a little bit.
Oh, they did 100%. He played with – Dan turned him down too. Sorry, fifth. I forgot Dan turned him down. So there was no way in hell he was doing that. what are you laughing at?
I don't know. Just some of it. All of it's kind of amusing.
Yeah, Lemonis and Dan played together at the Citadel, then coached together at the Citadel, and then Lemonis was Dan's number one assistant when he was at Louisville for a long time. So they've been together a really, really long time at this point.
Not that baseball series is all that heated, because it's really not, but that would truly soften it.
Oh, nothing. I mean, come on. I mean, it'd be another situation of both teams looking exactly the same on the sides of the field, how they warm up and everything they do. I mean, that was always like the most like disconcerting thing when Ole Miss played Louisville, is it looked like they were synchronized swimming out there. Like 3 minutes before first pitch, they're doing this, they're doing this. It's exactly the same. It's the same system. And Lemonis has taken a decent amount of that as well. So anyway, podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. We've been telling you for a week or so that if you're a state or school employee and they give you a prescription card that says CVS Caremark, it has the same logo. I don't know why, but it is not CVS Pharmacy. You're good still staying with your local pharmacy, staying with G&M or Tyson Drugs. That's not actually affiliated with the CVS Pharmacy that you're aware of. So you don't have to do anything. You're all good. No change there at G&M. They deliver locally in the Oxford area and more. So again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. All you got to do is get in touch with John. Just give him some parameters and a budget. Tell him kind of what you have in mind. And he will give you options to make it the vacation of your dreams, one that's going to create a lifetime of unique memories. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We are also brought to you by Pinnacle. Pinnacle, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in multiple states, advisors in several states as well. What they do at Pinnacle is they sit down and they build a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan just for you. Cookie cutter financial planners put you in a box, not Pinnacle. A box is built for you there. at pintrust.com, pintrust.com. Also brought to you by the College Corner. It's a one-stop Rebel shop, two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet in Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. So whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day. The largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. They bring more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience to Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Get in touch with them, 662-801-1777. Make sure that AC is in tip-top shape as we get into these super hot months. And we're brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, has been serving the Oxford area for more than 70 years, 74 years, I think, to be exact. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, and more. At Lamons, it's the gold standard in fine jewelry. LamonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777.
So how about is this Arizona State thing?
You're going to have to fill me in.
Football, probation, NCAA penalty stuff.
Oh, news to me.
You haven't seen this?
No.
Did I miss this today? Yeah, Arizona State got like something. There was a story.
You may have noticed I've been on the phone a good bit today. I have not been perusing social media at my leisure.
The NCAA is investigating allegations of violations within the Arizona State football program. Blah, blah, blah. They're linked to recruiting practices and likely towards several Arizona State coaches. Hosting prospects, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they actually might get hit hard here. They were hosting prospects during the coronavirus dead period.
Ooh, can't do that.
That could actually get you.
That's Herm Edwards, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. That's not good.
March 20. During that, let's see. They've already started interviewing coaches about the allegations.
You pay to win the game.
You pay to win the game. I think The Athletic broke it.
He won't make it to the first start. With that, don't you have to let people go for doing it? I mean, that was like everyone knew you could not do that.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
I mean, they were really serious about the whole pandemic dead period thingy.
Yeah, I'm just kind of scanning through it really quickly. One source said people in the department are worried about losing their jobs. Yeah, that is true.
I think so. Because that's one of those things that if you knew it was going on and you did nothing about it, you're out.
Also, a program that another bad look, they had their season shut down for nearly a month last year because of COVID issues. They only played 4 games. They went 2-2.
Ooh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I don't know. Man, I'm not going to read it on air, but nonetheless, the NCAA is currently looking into it, so we'll have a final decision sometime in 2026.
Yeah, because that'll kick NCAA called LSU and said, you know what, we're going to have to put you back on the back burner. Tell Will we're going to get to him eventually, though. And when we do,
if Davidson basketball, you are screwed
now. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Do you watch UFC? I don't ever watch UFC.
Not much, no.
It's not my thing. Just not mine. I don't know why. I just don't like it. I don't hate it. It doesn't do anything for me. I know it's very popular.
The king of not useless, kind of interesting stats sometimes. I see on Twitter, Nick Suss said no Power 5 team executed fewer sacrifice bunts than Ole Miss this year. They only put down 3 sack bunts the entire season, ranking 281st out of 286 teams. So it means there might be a team in the country that literally did not bunt once the whole year. That's interesting.
I'm not a bunt person.
At all?
Not unless it's like ninth inning of a tie game and leadoff guy.
Runner on second, no outs.
And even then, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? I'm giving up
3 shots at a hit here.
I'm giving up an out, and if the next guy strikes out, I'm screwed. I don't like giving up outs. There's a lot of criticisms that I'm along with people, but that's not one. If a coach just says, I'm not bunting, I'm cool.
I don't know what kind of bunter bunting coach Dan is. Cliff bunts a friggin' bit. I don't know how much is personnel and how much is strategy, but I believe he executed 46 sacrifice bunts this season.
We talked about this yesterday, that you and me off the air. You figure they tried another 15. It's about one bunt a game. It's a fair amount of bunting.
Is NCAA Emily still a thing? Is Emily still there?
Oh, I don't know. I can look and see. She might have blocked me.
She had you blocked?
I think I irritated her. I know that's hard to believe. I have that effect. You see where Kawhi Leonard tore his ACL?
I did see that. When you're PR for the NCAA, I mean, aren't you somewhat of a terrible person just to begin with?
She's still there. She has not tweeted though since November 13th.
Oh.
No, former NCAA PR team member. Account is inactive. So Emily's no longer there. She's gone.
What'd she do?
I don't know. Maybe probably got laid off because of COVID.
Where's she at now?
It doesn't say. Emily James.
Well, now I'm curious.
Surely she got a job, right? As you might imagine, there's a lot of Emily Jameses.
Think she'd come on the podcast?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I would guess not. I can't find her, though. Nope. Probably not going to hit up every random Emily James and say, are you the former NCAA?
She is a senior advisor for external relations with AARP.
Oh. How about that?
Yeah.
Still in Indianapolis, or does she have to move?
She's in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Yes. She's an Indiana grad. So on LinkedIn, we have like a third level connection, whatever that is. I don't know. I haven't been on LinkedIn in like a decade, but
I was going to say that's impressive that you and Emily James are connected on LinkedIn.
She worked for the NCAA for 9 years and 6 months. She managed communications for high-profile college sports issues, including litigation, regulatory affairs, and government relations. She provided strategic communications and messaging, as well as media training. Well, yeah, no shit on that one, Emily.
You trained some media. Some might even say you groomed the media.
Served as a spokesperson and created rapid response messaging.
Yeah.
Oh, to address urgent reputational issues. I love this. This is great. I could go all the way through her resume.
Do you see what Kirk Ferentz, I'm reading from the thread, Kirk Ferentz said about LSU?
In a second I will, but really, this is stupid. Oh, my God. Monitor social media and press coverage to mitigate emerging issues and utilize platforms to respond to inaccuracies and misperceptions.
Ooh.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It says, there's one school in particular, it's amazing to me. I think the AD ended up getting fired. There's a lot of collateral damage, and the guy who was on tape is still coaching there. Make that make sense to me. He ain't wrong.
No. Kirk, of all people.
So Ole Miss has an open date the same day that Iowa has a home game against Colorado State.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
You think about going?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, Ole Miss doesn't play.
Okay. Tomorrow, I have no idea what's coming, so
we'll let you know.
That's fair.
Yeah. But at some point, we'll probably talk to you with a podcast. We'll have whatever at rebelgrove.com. It has the chance to be a quiet day, but I know if I actually say that out loud, it'll be a day from hell. So we'll just see what comes tomorrow as we go through it. The crowd in today, thanks for the live stream. Ginger, you are by far our winner today. So thank you for participating and hanging out. You're a star, and we will be back tomorrow at some point. Again, stay locked in to rebelgrove.com in the meantime, and we will bring you whatever we know when we know it. So take care. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you then.